In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Happy New Year to everyone. If you're visiting us here at St. Benedict's this chilly morning, huh? It's nippy. Now, every time I say this, my friends up north get jealous and mad. But this morning when I looked at my phone, I told my wife, can you believe it's 45 degrees? And the real feel is 39. That's freezing for us, right? Well, we hope you feel warm here with all the love and the fellowship at St. Benedict's. There was a 10-year-old boy who from a very early age had shown inclinations toward ministry. You know, his mom kind of knew he was called. And one day she was looking out the kitchen window and she saw that her son Johnny had set up an entire congregation. He had chairs all put together. He grabbed his little sister's stuffed animals and put them in the chairs. There was one living member of the congregation, and it was the family cat. And the cat sat on the chair and looked up as Johnny preached a long sermon. The mother got a kick out of it, of course. But after a while, she got busy around the house, doing the cleaning and the washing and all of that. And all of a sudden, she could hear from the backyard a horrible noise, like a loud meow and hissing and squealing. Something's wrong. So when she looked out the window again, Johnny had set up a big pail of water, and he grabbed the cat, and he started to stick the cat in there. The mother ran out to save the cat, and the mother ran to the yard and said, Johnny, Johnny, what are you doing? Oh, well, I'm baptizing the cat. He's part of my congregation. The mother said, Johnny, you can't do that to the cat. The cat doesn't like the water. You're hurting the cat. He said, oh, Mom, he should have known that when he joined my church. Baptism has consequences. It's funny. In the Eastern churches, the celebration of Christmas is not really the 25th of December. It's more focused around the Epiphany, January the 6th. And as a matter of fact, in the Eastern churches, they celebrate three in one. They celebrate the birth of Jesus. They celebrate the Epiphany, the wonders of the star, the Jesus manifested, revealed as the Savior of all. And they celebrate the baptism. In the Western churches, our liturgy kind of divides the whole thing up. We have the 12 days of Christmas, right? And it begins on the 24th of December, and we celebrate the birth, and then later on we celebrate the Epiphany. You know, the three kings got there, the three wise men. And then eventually we get to this day, which is the end of Christmastide, or the end of our liturgical season of Christmas, which is the baptism. And unfortunately, when it comes to Christmas, baptism ends up being kind of like the stepchild, you know, not so prominent, kind of the last thing. But baptism is important. And today we recall, as we just heard in Scripture, that Jesus himself was baptized. As a matter of fact, John gets this name, right? John the Baptist, from this event. What we often don't realize is when we look at the roots of baptism, it started with a tradition of the people of Israel. Now, my Hebrew is not great, but it's pronounced something like Tevila or Tevila. It was a washing that was part of conversion. And the Jews practiced it often, especially before the high holy days, before the special celebrations. They would be washed, and it was a symbol of the washing of their sins. But in the Christian conception, this washing or this baptism with water, it's a once-in-a-lifetime event. And it has to do with the baptism of Christ. It is intimately linked to Jesus being baptized. Now, one unique thing about today's gospel is that when you look at the New Testament, all Christians believe in the Holy Trinity, that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God in three persons. And this is perhaps one of the few scripture passages where you find the Father, Son, and Spirit in that same passage. It tells us that Jesus got to the waters of the Jordan. It gives us a little drama there of, you know, John the Baptist saying, I'm not worthy, I shouldn't be doing this, you should be baptizing me. And then once the drama is over, the baptism occurs. And then the voice from heaven says, this is my beloved Son. The Spirit of God descends upon the water, it tells us. Alighting, it says in Matthew's Gospel that we just heard. So you've got the Father, the Son, and Spirit. Right there. The manifestation of the Trinity. And to this day, we say that baptism with water is always valid in all of Christianity when it is done in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That is the formula of baptism. But I want us not just to think about the fact that the Lord was baptized 2,000 years ago, which is very important. Today is a good day for us to think about the consequences of baptism. Because you know what? Baptism does have consequences. What does it mean to be baptized? And what does God's word tell us about being baptized? You know, the command came from Jesus. The reason we do this, and the reason we keep doing it, it's because Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 28, you remember that great final message to them, go and make disciples of all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them to carry out everything I've commanded you. And remember that I'm with you always until the end of the age. Baptism is linked to the Christian faith and linked to what we are called to do and to be. Baptism speaks about who we are, but it also speaks about whose we are. Listen to me carefully. It speaks about who we are as children of God through baptism. It speaks about whose we are. In baptism and through baptism, we belong to God. Unfortunately, when we think of Christianity in the world, we think, oh, there's billions, you know, there's so many Christians, right? Lots of Christians throughout the world, spread in all of different denominations and traditions. But we confuse baptism sometimes with some kind of initiation in a club, and then we think that we are card-carrying members as baptized members of the church, and we forget that it's much more than that. It's easy to be card-carrying members of whatever you want to be a card-carrying member of. If you have an American Express card, it says, member since I don't know what year, right? Makes you feel important. The older you get, the more important you feel. And then maybe the more you spend because you feel important, so you have the card, you're going to spend more. At the end of the day, being a Christian has nothing to do with being a card-carrying member. But it has everything to do with being members of the body. Members of the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says, for we are all baptized by one Spirit to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we are all given the one Spirit. See, this was very important at the beginning of Christianity, because some came thinking, oh, I'm joining a new club. You know, I used to be a Jew, now I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm still kind of a Jew. That's my culture, my tradition. But I'm now into this new club. The Gentiles maybe thought, oh, you know, I have to kind of leave my pagan world and I'm joining the new club. And Paul says, no. It doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Gentile, slave or free. You're now a member of this one body, the body of Christ. In 2 Colossians, Paul says, you have been buried with him in baptism. Listen to me carefully. Buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith. Raised from the dead. Baptism speaks about who we are as children of God, as members of a living body, the body of Christ. That's why you'll see that as Episcopalians, we say this every Sunday, and we never tire saying it. You hear the clergy say it. All of the baptized are welcome to receive Holy Communion. There's a reason for that. Some people may think, oh, Episcopalians invite everyone to receive Holy Communion because they take the Eucharist lightly. But we don't invite people to Holy Communion because we take the Eucharist lightly. We invite people to take Holy Communion because we take our baptism so seriously. It is through baptism that we become members of the body of Christ. It is through baptism that we're all welcome to God's altar and that we all become part of the same body. That's why even though you go into any street in America and throughout the world, and you've got the Roman Church over there, and you've got the Lutherans over there, and the Anglicans are here, and then half a mile down the road, you've got the Methodists, and the Presbyterians, and the Baptists, and the non-denominationals, in their many, many, many denominations, because now the non-denominationals have their own denominations. But whatever it is, God doesn't see that. God sees us as members of one body, the body of Christ. When are we going to begin to see ourselves as members of one body? That's the question. But God already sees us that way. See, the scripture says in Ephesians 4, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. What does that mean? It means that in baptism, my friends, we are being called over and over again to remember who we are. Baptism really has consequences. We are members of one body. So whether you belong to a church in the East or to a church in the West, whether you are Protestant or Catholic or Orthodox or non-denominational or very denominational, you are members of the one body. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. You see, our baptism tells us who we are, children of God. And it tells us whose we are. You know, it's really funny. My dad died kind of young, and so many people in my years of ministry never met him because he was gone before I was ordained a priest. So I'll introduce my mom to people. I'll say, look, here's my mom. And people outside the church say, wow, Father Albert looks a lot like his mom. But then they see a picture of my dad. They'll show me a picture of my dad. Oh, no, he really looks like his dad. And people always have to make those associations, right? You look like mom, you look like dad, you look like this, you look like that. Wouldn't it be awesome if when people looked at us, they saw our Heavenly Father? Through our love, through our actions, through our acceptance, through our love of everyone, through our inclusion. We live in a world that spends a lot of time and energy with prejudice and bigotry and exclusion. Oh, those people. Every time I hear those, I know we're getting into trouble. Every time I hear that. Oh, you know, those people. Oof, I say, red flag. What do you mean, those people? Those people are your brothers and sisters. Those people are part of the same body. They're members of the same Lord. You think when we get to heaven, we're all going to be boxed up into little different places? Impossible. You know, yesterday I was at a funeral for a member of one of our parishioners, dear parishioners of ours. Actually, two of our dear parishioners. Their brother passed away, and he's Jehovah's Witness. And I went to the Kingdom Hall. And obviously, going to the Kingdom Hall and sitting there, it feels totally different. You know, they don't have the same liturgy, not the same ritual, but you're there and you're praying with them and you say, you know, I'm sure God in heaven must be laughing at us all the time. These people always divided into their little categories. And when we get to heaven, I wonder, you know, if there's going to be like detour signs, you know? Anglicans to the left, Romans to the right, Jews, you know, take a U-turn, go over there. You think God's like that? We're like that. That's what's wrong with us. And we try to project that on God. See, we're the ones trying to project. We're trying to make God in our image and likeness. And we forgot that God's the one that made us in His image and likeness. And the image and likeness of God is love, unity, acceptance, forgiveness, caring. So remember who you are. You're a child of God. Remember whose you are. You belong to God. So baptism has consequences, huh? And those consequences are pretty serious. I would venture to say that if we got up each day and we ask ourselves the question that we often ask ourselves without knowing. If you're a medical doctor, you get up in the morning, and after you're finished with all of your personal cares, you start thinking, how am I going to take care of my patients? Make them better. If you're a contractor or a builder, and you finish all your personal matters, you say, what am I going to build today or plan to build today? If you're a musician or an artist, you get up and think, oh, creativity, what am I going to... How is it going to flow? What am I going to do that's new, that's special, that's entertaining? All of you have some task that you concern yourselves with, am I right? Some goal that you have to try to perform each day or meet each day. As baptized members of the body of Christ, do we get up every morning and do we remember who we are and whose we are? Do we get up and think, today I have to be a better follower of Jesus? Today I have to remember that because of the grace of my baptism, because baptism has consequences, I'm going to go into the world and be an image, a living image of God's love, God's care, God's goodness toward others. See, baptism is not just about a gift you receive one day and then you stick it in the cupboard and you take it out every once in a while to show people your card. Baptism is about living, living as a member of the body. And the body is living. And because the body is living, each and every day those cells multiply, if you will. And each and every day we've got something to do for God. And each and every day we've got to think about what we're doing. And I'm going to tell you what I think personally from my own reflection, what I think God needs the most from 21st century Christians. God needs people that are able to give testimony of a loving, caring God. A God that is big. Because we've spent too much time preaching a God that is small. A God that only accepts certain people who are a certain way, who think a certain way, who look a certain way. That's not the God revealed in Jesus Christ. The God revealed in Jesus Christ is a big God. A God with wide open arms. A God that loves us unconditionally. And the world needs to hear about that God, because guess what? The God we're hearing about in the news is a very different God than the one Jesus revealed. God is not a God of exclusion. God is certainly not a God of injustice. God has shown us a different way. And as his followers, we must bring that message to the world today. It's not about a lot of people being in church, by the way. It's not about the church being packed. It's about believers who are energized, who are truly energized and understand who they are and whose they are, who go out into the world and say, the gospel of love must be lived. And people are looking. People are paying attention. They say, young people have given up on the church. Young people have given up on God. Look at this. I'll tell you when young people are going to get excited about church again. When they see that the Christian institutions put into practice what Jesus taught us. And then young people are going to get energized about faith again. Our young people need not just to be told, go to church. They need to see it. They need to see faith in action. They need to see that we really do care, that we really do love the message of the gospel. And the only way they're going to see that is if those who are baptized and take their baptism seriously go into the world and put that message into action. We have a goal in 2017. And our goal in 2017 as people of faith is to say, you know what? Baptism matters. As a baptized member of this living body, I am going to go out into the world and I'm going to share the gift I've been given. It's not just about fulfilling a tradition. It's not just about a rite, a religious rite, or ritual. It's about living in God's Spirit and being an active member of the body. So baptism has consequences. And when we get up in the morning, we should ask ourselves each day, what am I going to do today to fulfill the promises of my baptism? To love God and to love neighbor as Jesus taught us. In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.